Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the hours of this day, that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this life may rest in your eternal changelessness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The reign of Christ. I love this day. It's a hinge in the church year. It's from the last season of Pentecost, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit causing growth. And then this hinge day, the reign of Christ. And next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. And so it's like a pause. And we claim that Christ is King, that the reign of Christ is advancing. We knew this feast day as Christ the King, but due to so many of the difficulties with kingship, with patriarchy, with the dominance of men in places where they have behaved badly, and there's just this overlay of difficulty for many people, I think it's rightly called the reign of Christ. And so we think of the sovereign and whether male or female exercising dominion, to whom allegiance is paid in full, to whom we are accountable. And so all those earthly sort of analogies of kingdom. And it's used in scripture as well in Jeremiah. We know that David's kingdom was far from perfect. And yet this image, this analogy of reign is used, that God will come and raise up one who is called the righteous branch, the righteousness of God. And this reign will be eternal. It'll be gentle. It'll be wise. It'll be not disintegrating, but it'll be unifying. And we groan. All creation groans, it says in Romans, until that day when shalom is established. Won't that be incredible? When there's no more groaning, there's no more pain, there's no more suffering, there's no more division. One day, shalom will be restored. Until that day, we are to be agents of reconciliation. Christ ones, following the Jesus way, modeling a community that is redemptive, is all about the reign of Christ. If I were to focus on the news cycle, all I would see is disintegration. How about you? I need to take a break from it. Deceit, corruption, earthquake. You know, we pray, and some people say, we prayed for that place so long. How long are we going to pray for the Bahamas? We're going to pray for the Bahamas until the Bahamas are restored. Because through the devastation, talk about chaos, of Hurricane Dorian, most people were evacuated that could be, and so there's no one to rebuild. You perhaps have read about volunteers that have come from other places in the world, and they bring their water, they bring their food, they bring their tools, they bring their beds, they bring their tents, because it's been washed away. We pray for South Sudan, and you might say, well, how long? Couldn't we pray for someone else? Sure we could. But the Diocese of Iba in South Sudan is without infrastructure. And that's just the technical part. I was asking the Bishop of Iba, I said, well, how long would it take to drive from point A to point B? He says, well, it would take forever. You can't drive. There are no roads. And when we were driving around Vancouver, we hosted him along with Hope International for a couple days. And I think it was the third stoppage because of roadworks. And I think I sighed. He said, brother, don't sigh. He said, this is good. They're working on the roads. That is very good. And so we pray for places that are experiencing entropy in an accelerated way. Entropy is part of the second law of thermodynamics. I've read it. I've researched it. I don't fully understand it. So if there's anyone out there that can talk to me about the second law of thermodynamics, please do. But one earthy sort of example that I live often is one sock. Where is the other one? Okay. So entropy says that it goes from order to randomness. Can you relate at all? It goes from order to randomness. That's the natural sort of flow of life. And so I love that collect from the Compline, Service of Compline in the Book of Common Prayer. We who are wearied by the changes and chances of this life. Are you worn out sometimes? Even the disintegration in our own bodies. Cancer is the modern day sort of image of anti-shalom. It's this chaos within our own bodies. And yes, there are drugs and therapies that can combat that. And yet I believe it's the reign of God, ultimately, that is the place that will give us the kind of peace and rest and integration that we need, we desire, we long for. So what holds your life together, and how's it working? I'm a great fan of duct tape. The latest, I paid $21 for a roll of tape. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that I paid $21 for a roll of Gorilla tape. And I did body work with it. It's holding up. It's brilliant. I couldn't believe it. Only in Canada would we have a handyman who has made his career with duct tape. Red Green. Wouldn't you say Canada's favorite handyman? Right? Does duct tape, is that kind of an image for you that's holding your life together? Duct tape, D-U-C-K, tape, came into being during Vietnam, the Vietnam War. And it was developed as a to be used in the battlefield. And it was used probably most famously to patch up rotor blades of helicopters that were shot up. It balanced them, but it also diminished the whistling sound that these rotors made as they were shot through with bullet holes. Duct tape. It was named because of the cotton duck material that the adhesive was then fused to. I'm such a fan of duct tape. I got my cheap duct tape for just whatever jobs, and then I got my $21 roll, and no one touches it. I have it in a special place, and I know where it is. And if you need some, let me know, because I'm willing to share good news. Duct tape does not work in life, and sometimes, you know, we say, well, I'm doing what I can. I'm doing the best I can, and I'm not one to stand in judgment of that. That is for sure. But this entropy, everyone experiences it. As I grow older, I experience it in an accelerated way. Clothes that I've loved for years, my wife looks at me and says, "You're going out in that?" Yeah. As it wears out, and I need to recycle it. And I do so with some sadness, especially some. Well, first of all, it goes into the work clothes bin. And then there has been, and it just gets recycled somewhere. We see this kingdom of darkness as one of disintegration. It's one of disintegration. And I think we, in league with the darkness and the shadow of death, we accelerate disintegration. And we see it all around. The opioid crisis and the thousands of people dead is probably one of the most stark examples of disintegration and the shadow of death advancing. And so how can we, as people of the light, work against this entropy morally and physically? And one of the ways, I believe, is just what we've done this morning, is to claim that Christ is sovereign. And it's the reign of Christ that we invest in and explore. He has set us free, we're told, from our enemies to worship him without fear. I believe the enemies are the enemies of shalom. The enemies are the ones that advance disintegration, and they come in many forms, many, many forms. One of the ways I experience disintegration is when it's too late and I'm online, I'm on Facebook, and I'm looking at someone's kids that I don't even know. I'm going, what on earth am I doing? Get to bed. So I experience disintegration even in those moments. And may I do less of that and get to bed earlier, which is, I know, integrative and healthy and good. There are the sort of those kind of examples, and then there's the profound examples. What an image and what an invitation that we would rest in God's eternal changelessness as a daily discipline, to come to rest in God's eternal changelessness as we're batted about sometimes by the things that we have no control over. Jeremiah gave a tough message to the shepherds of the day that are supposed to model this integration. They were scattering the flock. God's people were scattered and disintegrated. So the role of shepherd is to gather, to nurture, to reconcile, and to practice that. And one day is coming, and we long for that day still, that God will raise up shepherds. God sent Jesus as the good shepherd, but one day will bring us all together under this gentle and godly and beautiful rule, when we'll all live in safety. One day. One day. The verse in Colossians that I love, it's one of my heart verses, and may it be one of yours as well. In Him, in Christ, all things hold together. Do you believe that? I do. In Christ, all things hold together. So no matter what is going on in the world around you, in your own heart, in your own body, in relationships that are precious to you, I believe that all things hold together in Jesus Christ. I had a friend in university. I thought he was talking to himself. I thought he was a bit odd, but I asked him one day. I worked up the nerve to ask him. I said, I lived with him for about 6 months. I said, do you talk to yourself? And he said, he goes, no, when you hear me talking to myself, I'm just saying the name of Jesus over and over and over and over again. And I thought, huh. One of the strategies is to put your head under the pillow. One of the strategies was to walk around with blankets over your head. And I know these are children, right? I get that, and I love them. But I'd rather have Steve's strategy. I say Jesus over and over and over. For in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. And so what can we do? In all things, we acknowledge that in Him, the head, all things hold together for the church. And that His plan is to reconcile to Himself all things. And so may that pattern our ministry, our mission, our focus. The gospel reading is an interesting one from Luke's gospel. And it's interesting that Luke starts, and I believe it. The more often I read it, the more it sort of sinks into me. He leads off with, they came to the place which is called the skull. What is the skull but a disintegrated body? It's what's left. And that's the place where Jesus was crucified, brutally killed. And why is it that Luke is sort of orchestrating this tableau with soldiers who cast lots, people who stood by watching, the leaders who scoffed, the soldiers who mocked, criminals deriding, at least one did, the other criminal rebuking. What is it about this? That Jesus was crucified with one criminal on His left and the other criminal on His right, and the very first thing out of His mouth is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I believe that God is modeling to us that He completely and totally identifies with criminals, with the broken, with those who experience disintegration in their lives and relationships. He's become one of us to reconcile us, to pay the ransom, to get us out of this kingdom of darkness. So any of us who persist in those practices, those habits, those activities, the hours, the minutes that turn into hours of your day that you're focused on darkness. I had a friend who called those souvenirs of hell. We get rid of those. And we encourage one another to get rid of those, to transfer to the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's Son, Jesus. For he is the head of over all, and in him all things hold together. I love duct tape, but I love Jesus more. And I believe that in him, whether on heaven, in heaven or on earth or under the earth, and in his church, it's in Christ that all things hold together.